Like to talk this morning about being set apart for Christ. A couple aspects we want to look at is, what does this look like? What does this require of me? And are all Christians called to be set apart? Or maybe, as the brother shared this morning, we should term that all followers of Jesus Christ. Are all followers of Jesus Christ called to be set apart? What does this look like? Turn with me to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verses 15 and 16. This is the story of Paul. When God called him, we know the story. We know the miraculous conversion that Paul had as he was set on the wrong course, and how God met him in the way and spoke to him. And then God spoke to Ananias and told him to go and speak to Paul, or to Saul at that time, it still was, but changed it to Paul. And he said in verse 15, "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way." This is to Ananias. He was instructing him to go and to speak to him. And of course, he was scared. He said, "This man is coming to take my life and the life of your followers." But God said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." We see here that Paul was a chosen vessel. He was someone that God had chosen for a calling, for a purpose, for a very specific purpose. And I'm not saying that we're all here called to be Pauls. We're not all maybe called to do exactly what he did. And yet we are, I believe, called in the same way to go and spread forth the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world around us. We are called in the same way to live before the world a life of righteousness, a life of holiness. We are called to be followers of Jesus Christ, to walk in His footsteps, to be His disciples. And what all does that look like for us? What does that mean? We see David. I'm just going to name a number of people here that were called, specifically called by God. David was called, he was anointed as king at a young age, and yet he ran for his life for years. God was working, God was teaching, God was bringing him to a deeper place to himself. We see the Psalms that are such a blessing for us. Those wouldn't be there if David wouldn't have had those years where he was running from Saul, where he was just allowed the Lord to have that deep communion in his heart. He was a chosen vessel of the Lord, and he had that fellowship with God. He knew God. It's evident as you read the Psalms. He knew Jesus Christ, or he knew the Spirit of God. He didn't know Jesus Christ as person because he hadn't come yet. But he knew the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God ministered to him. The Spirit of God prophesied through him. You have Esther. She was called, it says, for such a time as this. She was called to, and she was willing to risk her life for her people. She was willing to, she fasted, she prayed, she sacrificed, she gave. She gave up her life, so to speak. And God saved it. She laid down her life and God saved it. We have Daniel, who at a young age purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And I believe that speaks very much into what we heard this morning with the cell phones, with the evil that is at our fingertips. Have we purposed in our hearts not to defile ourselves? As the brother shared, he made that one decision, that one choice, and that was to follow Christ. We must purpose in our hearts to not defile ourselves with that which is of the world, that which will lead us astray. He was called of God to stand alone, and he changed the nations. He changed the world almost for God, for the sake of Christ. We see how Daniel, because of his willingness to stand and not yield to the decree of Darius, Or maybe you should say to the decree of those who wanted to kill him, it really was. But he stood, and God delivered him. Because of him, his standing for truth, God delivered him from the den of lions. And because of that, the decree changed from "no one may worship anybody but the king." to the king making a decree that nobody may worship anyone but the God of Daniel. What an impact. What an impact it can make if we stand for truth, if we stand for righteousness, if we are willing to be set apart for the purpose of God. The three Hebrews that stood and did not bow to the idol, they faced the fire. Again, God was glorified. God was made known. Joseph, he was ordained of God. It was ordained of God for his brothers to sell him into slavery, for him to be a victim of evil in Potiphar's house and to be cast into prison. He was set apart of God to go through those things so that, again, God would be glorified, so that there would be a place for God's people when that time came, for God to show himself strong. Samuel, called to be a prophet of God. And I'm challenged every time I think of or read the words where it says, not one of his words fell to the ground. Church, that is from a life that is set apart. That is from a life that is set apart from this world, that is set apart from the pursuits of self to the pursuits of God. Mary and Joseph were called by God to face ridicule and rejection so that God's purpose could be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. They were set apart. They were the ones that were called to be his parents. And because of that, they faced ridicule and rejection from the people around them to be set apart for God. Abraham was called to leave all that he knew and trust God for everything. What a picture of what God is calling us to today, to leave, to be willing to lay down everything. Now, does that mean God is going to take everything from us? No, it does not. But it means a heart fully surrendered, fully yielded, fully laying down, and to trust God for everything. Moses was called of God to lead the children of Israel. It says they were a stiff-necked people. They were difficult. It was not an easy task, but Moses was chosen. And he said he chose rather to suffer, and this was earlier, and he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. What is our choice today? Are we choosing to be set apart? To be set apart rather than to enjoy the pleasures of Egypt, to enjoy the pleasures of sin, to enjoy for a season. You know, we hear that many times today, especially from young people. Well, I just want to have some fun for a while and then I'll get serious with God. It's not where it lies. It's not where the truth is. It's not where the freedom is. It's not where God has called us to walk. We look through the lives of the prophets. They were called to be a voice of God, to be the voice of God. The disciples, Jesus specifically called 12 of them to follow him, to walk with him, to be his disciples, to leave everything and to follow him. He told them, he said, take up your cross daily and follow me. He also said, and I believe this was to more than just the 12, he said, he that is not willing to give up father, mother, houses, lands, whatever it may be, and follow and come after me is not worthy to be my disciple, is not worthy of me. What about us? What about you? Are we called? Are you called? Or can we just be normal people? Can we just be normal people? You know, we can look at these people that I pointed out, and there's many, many more in the scriptures that I could have looked at. But we look at that and we say, well, how many hundreds of thousands of regular people were there? Normal people were there? Can't we just be one of those? Can't we just be the people of God without being committed, dedicated, set apart? Can we just trust in Christ? Or then choose how committed we are. What is our calling, church? What has Jesus Christ called his church to, his people, his bride? It said he is coming for a spotless bride, one that is without spot, without wrinkle,
One that is committed, that is watching, that is waiting for him. We see the parable of the 10 virgins, the 5 wise and the 5 foolish. 5 of them, they were committed, they were dedicated, they were set apart, they were ready, they were diligent, they had oil in their lamps. They were focused on the coming of the bridegroom. They were ready for his call. And when he came, they went with him. The other, they were also virgins. They had kept themselves pure. They were virgins, but they were not completely committed. They were not giving. They were not ready. They were not watching. They did not have oil in their lamps at the time of the bridegroom's coming. Can we afford to just be normal people? You know, have you ever asked God that question? I know I have. I know I have. Like, God, can't I just be a normal person, just a regular person, to enjoy, not sin, but pleasures, just enjoy. And I'm not saying we can't. I'm not saying we can enjoy life. Trust me. We can enjoy life. It's an enjoyable life to walk committed to Christ. It might not always be an easy life, but it's an enjoyable life. But sometimes we get tired, at least I do. And, can't I just be a normal person? Can't I just be, just believe in Jesus Christ, but just kind of be a, just kind of live a regular life. And I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but I don't find peace there. I don't find true freedom there. Yeah, I can live that way. I can do that. But it's not where the blessing of God lies. It's not where his call is on us as his people. And I believe it's especially different for those of us who live in under the new covenant. God has called unto him a people. And we want to look at more of that here in detail this morning. And this morning I'm not planning to go to list any, or at least not many, practical areas in our lives. You know, there's things we could list, there's things I could name, but there's way more if we'd start now in this room and go around the room and everybody could name everything they think of. There's still more areas in our lives. There's things, practical things in our lives. So that's not where I'm going this morning. My prayer this morning is that the fire would do its work in your life, that the Holy Spirit would touch you wherever it needs to, because I think every one of us, in fact, I'm going to say I know every one of us, has an area in our life that God wants to work on, that God wants to perfect, that God wants to purify, and he knows what that area is. I don't know what that area is in your life, but the Holy Spirit knows what that area is in your life. So as I share this morning, my prayer is again that Holy Spirit come and just reveal to each of our hearts, just reveal in each one of us, that area, that thing, whatever it is that is holding us back, that attitude, that thing in our hearts that we are hanging on to. Father, just come and reveal to each one of us. Make this word alive to each one of our hearts. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, turn with me, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, because of this, because I long to be in your heart, and I cannot abide where sin abides. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty.
Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Church, brothers and sisters, what are you fellowshipping with? We come here Sunday mornings and we fellowship with each other, right? But that's not where the true test lies. That's not where the true life is. Yes, praise God, there's life here. May the life come as we fellowship. But is there life in your life? Is there life in your private life when you're alone? What are you fellowshipping with? Who are you fellowshipping with? Is there any communion with darkness? Is there any fellowship with unrighteousness? Is there any agreement between your temple and idols? It says you are the temple of the living God. If you have placed your trust in Jesus Christ this morning, we are to be the temple of the living God. We are to be His dwelling place. He longs to live inside of us. He longs to fill us with His Holy Spirit, to guide us, to teach us, to give us power over the enemy. What is in your temple? He says, come out from among them. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will be a father. I will be your righteousness. I will be your power. I will be your anointing. Let us cleanse ourselves. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, Jesus ends the sermon, or ends that part of the Sermon on the Mount, saying, be ye holy, even as your Father in heaven is holy. And you know, we can look at that and we can say, how? How can I be that? It's as He lives in us. It says, be ye perfect. And that word perfect, I'm sorry, it says be ye perfect. I said holy there, but He also says that later in one of the epistles. But He says, be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And that word perfect is complete in Christ, wholly consecrated, complete in Christ. It is possible that we are perfect in Jesus Christ as we come out from Him, as we separate ourselves, as we live a life of holiness to Jesus Christ. Deuteronomy chapter 7, let's turn there, read a few verses there. And this is God calling the children of Israel to Himself. And we know that in Christ it has expanded much further than that. But I want to look at these few verses. Deuteronomy chapter 7, beginning in verse 6, says, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did set His love upon you. Sorry, did not set His love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is faithful, the faithful God which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. Here we see where it expresses here God calling out the children of Israel. And it says, the Lord thy God, He is faithful. He is faithful, and that's what I want to bring out of this passage this morning. If we are willing to be set apart, if we are willing to come out from among them, if we are willing to be that chosen generation, to be a royal priesthood, a holy people, a holy nation, God is faithful. God is faithful to keep us.
He that hath begun a good work in you, I am confident that he that hath begun a good work in you will accomplish it, will finish it to the day of Jesus Christ. If we yield to him, if we are a holy people set apart, he keeps his covenant to 1,000 generations. Now turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 9. But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Who's he talking to here? Is he talking to you? Is he talking to me? Is he talking to us? He is. He's talking to his people, the followers of Christ. Those that have identified, those that have believed, those that have trusted in Jesus Christ. He's talking to us this morning. But ye, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a holy people, a peculiar people, set apart, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That must be a reality in our lives, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And Peter here is specifically talking to the Gentiles. And he said, before this, you didn't have a chance. God's chosen people were the Jews, but you are now the chosen people of God. We are now, every one of us who hath put our faith in Jesus Christ, but have now obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Stay away from them, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Why should we separate ourselves? Why should we be set apart? Why should we be a holy people? That they may behold your good works and glorify God. Glorify your Father which is in heaven. To bring glory to God this morning, church. It is God's heart for us. It is His desire. It is His word. And He has made it available. You're a chosen generation. We are chosen by God for a purpose. We are appointed as a royal priesthood to walk in true holiness. The priests, there was no exception made at all for them to walk in sin. They were called apart. They were called apart to be holy to the Lord their God. Everything, the garments they wore spoke of it, especially the high priest. Aaron's, it said, holiness to the Lord. There was no place for sin. There was no place for self. And when I'm talking about sin, I'm talking about what the brother shared about this morning. I'm talking about living in sin. I'm talking about a repeated living in sin and denying and going against what God would have us to walk in. We're appointed as a royal priesthood. We're called to be set apart. It says a peculiar people. We're called to be different. Well, that's no fun, right? To be different. We like to fit in. We like to, you know, we don't like to be different. We don't like to stand out. We don't like to have attention drawn to us because we're different than those around us. We were called to be set apart, to be different, to not get wrapped up or distracted in the pleasures of the ungodly.
Again, why? That we might show Christ to the world around us. We are set apart to walk in the power of God over sin. As we read the letters to the churches, as we read the life of Jesus Christ, as we read the New Testament, it's over and over again the power of Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit has been given to us as God's people to walk above sin, to walk in authority over the enemy. We are set apart to fight the good fight of faith. We are set apart, brothers and sisters, to join forces with Christ and do spiritual warfare against the enemy, to push back the powers of darkness that are present around us and around the world, powers that are fulfilling the desires of Satan, powers that are drawing men into deception, powers that are overtaking the church, powers that are destroying homes and marriages, powers that are enticing our children to love the things of this world, powers that are attempting to wear out the saints of God in these last times. Church, we are called. We are not only allowed, we are called to join forces, to fight. We are called. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and look at that. Ephesians chapter 6 and look at where we have been given the armor of God. We have been given what we need to enter into this battle. We have been called, church, to fight the good fight of faith. We have been called to enlist in the army of Jesus Christ. We have been called. Another place he says, he talks about that. He said, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure hardness. Endure whatever we need to endure to fight to fight against these powers. I'm just going to read this list again. We are set apart to join forces, to push back the powers of darkness that are present around us and around the world. Are we aware of them, church? Are we even spiritually aware of the powers of darkness that are working around us, that are working to destroy the church of Christ, that are working to destroy our families, that are working, that are drawing men into deception, powers that are working to destroy our homes and our marriages, our children, powers that are working to draw them away from that which is right and good, powers that are working to draw them into the love of the world, into the lust of the flesh. Church, the enemy is not standing by idle. The enemy is not sitting by hoping that we just go astray. The enemy is active. The enemy is on the move. We heard some of that last Sunday as Brother Frank shared. When they were in Haiti preaching the gospel, there were witch doctors in Haiti calling witch doctors in Africa, calling a fast for the powers of darkness to work in Haiti to overcome the powers of light. Praise God, his testimony was it did not happen. The light prevailed. The powers of Christ prevailed. And they will if we join and fight. We have been given victory, but we must fight. We must fight with authority. And church, when we are walking in sin, we are stripped of the authority of Jesus Christ. There is no authority in a sinful life. There is no authority in that state. But we have also been given authority over that if we stand up and we claim it and we take it and we walk in it and we choose that which is right and we make choices to follow God and we choose that which is righteous and holy. The power of God has been given to us as His church to walk in true holiness and righteousness, to join the forces of Jesus Christ and to fight. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10, let's read this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Put on the whole armor of God. Are you standing? Are you finding yourself being able to stand? If you're not, church, if you're not standing against the wiles of the devil, then somewhere you're not fighting. You're not putting on the whole armor of God. Because he says here, if we take the whole armor of God and we stand and we fight, We will prevail. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. You know, these are things that take spiritual discernment to see in our lives. These are things that take spiritual discernment to be aware of, that they're working around us and in our midst. We were not going to see these things with our natural eye. We're not going to see these things if we're pursuing the things of the flesh. We're not going to see these things, church, if we are not tuned in and in key, if we are not keyed in and in tune with the Spirit of God and with the Word of God. The Word of God is going to reveal those things. The Spirit of God is going to reveal these things to our hearts and is going to reveal to us what we must stand against, what is coming against us, what we must fight against. Fathers, we must know what is coming against our children, what is coming against our homes. Because if we do not stand and fight against that, it will overtake our children. It will overtake our homes, and it will overtake our church. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Are we aware, church, of the powers that are working around us? Are we aware? Or are we asleep? Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Those temptations that he flings your way. Those darts that try to penetrate your heart. Those evil thoughts that come into your mind. What happens with them? Church, we need the shield of faith to stand and to quench those fiery darts. Because if we don't have that, they are going to strike us and they are going to burn us. And we are going to fall to that temptation. Having the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Whether it be an evil temptation, whether it be a doubt, whether it be envy, whether it be pride, whatever it may be that the enemy is tossing our way, is shooting at us. And take the helmet of salvation, having our heads protected. The helmet of salvation this morning, church. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Do we know the Word of God? Can we fight in the Spirit with the Word of God? When the enemy comes and shoots those fiery darts at you as he did to Christ, what did Christ bring against those darts? When Satan tempted him in the wilderness, what did Jesus Christ use? Someone tell me. The Word. He quoted the Word of God. He quoted the correct Word of God. He counteracted that with the Word of God. And it yielded Satan powerless. Three times. It was the Word of God. It was the Word of God. It was the Word of God. Do we know the Word of God? And I'm not talking about do we just know how to open our Bibles and read it. Do we know it in our hearts? Has it become a part of us? Is it alive within me? It's the Spirit of God revealing it so that it's alive within me. So when those times come, when those things come against us, or maybe when the opportunity comes for us to share with someone, do we know the Word of God? When the enemy through another religion or through another person wants to throw dirt in our face as a Christian, do we know the Word of God? Can we come standing on the authority of the Word of God? And is that authority of the Word of God my foundation this morning? Is it your foundation? We have no more authority in the Word of God than what we stand upon it, than what we live it, than what we yield ourselves to it. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Church, this is no just simple asking God for a few things that I need today and going about our way. This is no just simple prayer. And I'm not taking away from a simple prayer, okay? But trust me,
We begin somewhere, and it's right to pray. It's right to express our heart to God. But he's talking here about intercession. He's talking here about praying. He's talking about entering in to the spirit of prayer, where the Holy Spirit takes over and makes supplication by the Spirit for the saints of God around the world. Because it is from here, that we can do warfare. It is from here that we can fight. We can fight for the persecuted church. It is from here that we can fight for the church in Africa. We pray for the church in Africa. What do we pray for? Do we know what it's like to stand in the place of prayer, to stand in the gap, to intercede for them, to pray against the powers of darkness that are working there, to pray against the witchcraft that is so prevalent in those villages? It's real, folks. It's real here too. We don't see it as much, maybe. But what do we pray for when we pray? Do we know what it is to enter into intercession? Do we know what it is to pray in the Spirit of God, where the Spirit of God puts words in our mouths and upon our heart and speaks that we maybe didn't even know about? Or maybe we weren't even aware about how to pray. But the Spirit of God prays through us because He's aware of the situation. Do we know that kind of prayer, church? That's the prayer He's talking about here. Praying, making supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance, watching for one another. Do we watch for one another as we pray? Do we watch for one another's souls? Do we allow the Spirit of God to place a burden on my heart for a brother or sister that's maybe walking in error, walking, needing direction? All of us need direction. We need wisdom. We need life. We need words of knowledge. God wants to reveal that to us through the Spirit of God, through our brothers and sisters as we pray. God wants to reveal His heart to His people, to make supplication for all saints. It is from this place of prayer that we can fight against human trafficking and the powers of darkness that are running wild in the world around us in this area. Do we know that authority, church? It is for the people of God. It is for those that are set apart. It is for those that are called according to His purpose. It is for those who are called to come out from among them and be ye separate. It is for those who are committed to that. It is those who are willing for that. Are we committed, church, to being called out, to being separate, to engage in battle, to walk in holiness? And yes, I am talking about being free from a life of sin. That is the holiness that I'm talking about this morning, church. There's a holiness that the brother shared about ahead of me this morning. It is the holiness that God is calling us as His people to. Does it mean that the enemy will not bring temptations against us? No. Does it mean that we will not fall at times? No. But it means that we will stand right back up. And we will stand, we will put back on that armor of God. We will take back that ground that we gave to the enemy. And by the power of the Spirit of God, we will continue on in battle and we will fight. And we will not allow that sin to dominate our bodies. Church, we right here, we as a church, we have tolerated sin way too long. We have been okay with struggling in the right direction. We have been okay with it. Church, I do not believe that the Word of God teaches us to be okay with it. It's time to see sin as God sees it and to press in for a total victory. Now, church, as I share this, I'm not here this morning condemning you if you are not walking in this place. But I'm here to challenge us this morning that there is a place. There is a place for us to walk in that. There is a place for us to walk free from sin. There is a place for us to walk in holiness. Let's go there. Let's cry out to God. It is only as we are led by the Spirit of God. It is only as we yield ourselves, servants to God, unto righteousness, unto true holiness. He says in Romans, as long as you yield yourself, servants to sin, you're going to be the servants to sin.
You're going to keep falling. You're going to keep walking in that. But if you yield yourself, servants, to God, to righteousness and true holiness, and walking by the power of God, walking by the reality of the power of God that comes through the Word of God, it is then that we walk in that holiness. It is then that we walk in that righteousness. If you're not there this morning, cry out to God. Cry out to God. Let it drive you to your knees. Let it drive you to your knees. Day after day, however long it takes until you find yourself walking in that victory. Don't stop. Don't give up. The enemy is here to discourage us. The enemy is here to say it's not possible. The enemy is here to say you can't walk in victory. You can't walk in victory over that area of your life. I'm here to tell you this morning, church, that Jesus Christ and the Word of God says it is possible. It is possible by the power of God, by the Spirit of God in our lives. That fire that we sang about this morning. Cry out to God for that fire. If you're not walking in that reality, if it hasn't burned out every trace of sin in your life, if it hasn't let the glory of God in your life, then cry out to God until that fire burns in your heart so deep and so strong and so hot that it burns within you and burns out that sin. This is what we are called to, church. Every follower of Jesus Christ is called to that kind of a life. We are not called to live a normal life. He says here to be a peculiar people, to be set apart, to be different, to be my people, which are called by my name, to humble ourselves. He says, if you humble yourselves, you pray, you cry out to me, you humble yourself, then I will hear from heaven. I will heal your land. Now, he's talking in the Old Testament. I believe he was talking there. He was speaking about it happened physically. And I'm not saying that I think there's a part of that today for us, but he's wanting to heal your heart. He's wanting to heal your life. He's wanting to heal your temple. He's wanting to heal you to the point where you walk in complete surrender and complete yieldedness and complete victory in the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, allowing Him to flow out of you, allowing the life of Christ, allowing the Spirit of God to flow out of you. If you're not there this morning, cry out, press in for a total deliverance. Do not stop. Do not stop until the power of God is real within your life and you are living a life that is completely free from the power of sin. Brothers and sisters, it's time to see sin as God sees it. To press in for total deliverance, to drop to our knees in repentance and cry out. And yes, literally cry out. Cry out to God. Open your voice, open your mouth and cry out to God. Let the Spirit of God put a desperate cry in your heart and let it come out of your lips and cry out to God. Get alone with God and cry out to God for deliverance. Walk in fear and trembling in the presence of God. Brothers and sisters, we're living in the new covenant. We're living in the mercy of God. Because in the old covenant, if God's presence would have come among us, everyone that was living in sin was destroyed. You see the life of Achan. Achan disobeyed God. He took of that which was forbidden. He took of the sin. He partook of that. He hid it. It was hidden. He had, I'm not sure how many chances it was, he had to confess it as the lots began to fall. But he chose to hide it. He chose to keep that sin in his heart. It cost him his life. Brothers and sisters, we are living under mercy. We're living under grace. But there will come a time where that sin cannot dwell in the presence of God, as the brother shared this morning. That sin will not enter in to the presence of God. Do we walk today in fear and trembling in the presence of God? It is then and only then that we will experience the true power of God in our lives. We read there in Psalm chapter 4, verse 4. He says, stand in awe and sin not. Church, that is a true revelation of Jesus Christ. When we come to the place in our lives where we stand in awe of God,
We stand in awe of His holiness. We stand in awe of the presence of God and the power of God. And it causes us to sin not. When that is in our lives, when we have come to that place, it is then that we have had a true revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Of who Jesus Christ is. The brother shared this morning that if we are not walking free from sin, he questions our commitment to God. I say this morning, I amen to that, but I say also, if we are not living free from sin, I question that we have had a revelation of who God really is. I question that the Holy Spirit has truly revealed to us who Jesus Christ is. It is only in this holiness and being led by the Spirit of God that we can walk in the authority to do spiritual warfare. I'll say that again. It is only in this holiness and being led by the Spirit of God that we have the authority to enter in and do warfare in the Spirit. A couple more verses or passages I want to look at. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, 13 to 16. Wherefore, and is speaking here of Jesus Christ, who He is. And he says, because of this, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. And that's all conduct. In every way that you conduct yourself, your words, your speech, your actions, everywhere. When you're here, when you're at work, when you're alone. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 12. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us. Chosen. There again we see that word. He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also ye have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. Verse 4 says, according as He hath chosen us in Him. And verse 12 says, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. It is for His glory. It is for His glory, church, that we are called apart. It is for His glory that we are called, we are chosen, that we are set apart from the things of this world. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 16 and 17. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple
ye are. I just ask that you take those verses home with you today and allow the Spirit of God to speak to you specifically. What is that saying to me today? What is that saying? I am the temple of God. The Spirit of God dwells within me. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Allow the Spirit of God to just speak to you through that. Back to the three questions at the beginning. What does it look like to be set apart? What does it look like to be a chosen generation, a peculiar people? What does it require of us? What does it require of me? What does it require of you to be set apart? To be set apart for Christ. To be set apart. To be yielded. And are all Christians called? All followers of Christ? Are we all called to be set apart? Are we all called? Are we really all called to be this radical? To be a peculiar people? To enter into warfare? To live a life free from the power of sin? To live that the world may know the power of the one that we have committed our lives to?